Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Let me just add before I pray that our associate vicar, John Featherstone, is down at St. Andrew's this morning, leading a service there. It's just by the flyover in Croydon. Over the coming months, we are supporting St. Andrew's. They're in an interregnum. They don't have a vicar at the moment, and he'll be going another three or so times before Christmas. So do pray for him and pray that we're able to support them well at this time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you eager to hear what you have to say. And we know that we have our own ideas about what you're like. But we don't want our ideas about what you're like. We want to know you as you truly are. So we pray that you would reveal yourself in the scriptures to us. And as you reveal yourself, please shape us to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen. How does Jesus treat people? How does Jesus treat people? Imagine you're in the elevator on number one Croydon Tower. That's the very tall green thing just opposite East Croydon Station. Very fast elevator. You've got 30 seconds before the bing on the 38th floor. The person next to you says, "How does Jesus treat people?" What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Now, I think the answer that we give to that question, how does Jesus treat people, is immensely revealing. It will tell us how we naturally and most immediately think about the attitude and character of God. It will reveal how we think he relates to us. And if God is the measure of all good, it will also probably determine what kind of people we ourselves would really like to become. A lot rides on the question, how does Jesus treat people? Now, 2 years ago, as a church council, we worked up our vision. Here is a little graphic of it, if we can have that up. Thank you, Stuart. Emmanuel Church seeks to be a place of unconditional welcome, Christ-centered revival, and deep discipleship, not on here, for this generation and the next in South Croydon and beyond. Thank you, Stuart. And over the last year, we've spent some time in the ministry team. We've been exploring that in a bit more depth. And as we head into this new academic year, I thought it'd be great for us to come back to that vision in our Sunday sermons. We're going to be wrestling with it. We're going to be thinking through it in a bit more depth. So we can think, what kind of a church do we want to be? Are we going to be? What are we going to be like as individuals? But also, what are we going to be like as a whole? And that will help us to ask the question, are we actually doing what the Lord is calling us to do here in South Croydon? And today we're going to begin with that first part, unconditional welcome. First slide, please. Unconditional welcome. Now, when we did this work with the church council on our vision, this was the strongest theme. There were actually hundreds of little vision bites that everyone wrote down. This was the strongest that came out of them. And you could see the heart behind it. I think we as a church, we're people who have come to know Jesus. We've come to know his extraordinary, extravagant, all-encompassing, ever-compassionate, grace-filled love. And we want our church to feel and look just like that. It has also proved to be the most controversial part of our vision, and we're going to come to that as well. So let's walk for a moment with Jesus through those couple of encounters we heard earlier, and let's paint the picture of the unconditional love of Jesus. Here is how Jesus loves unconditionally. First, we're going to hover in as a little fly on the wall of Levi's house. If you've got a Bible, Luke chapter 5. Will be very helpful for you. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Levi is known as a collaborator with the Roman authorities. He extracts money from his Jewish brothers and sisters to fill Rome's war chests, and he probably lines his own pockets handsomely in the process. But this time, Jesus has called him, and extraordinarily, and we want to know really the background, so we want to know so much more, don't we? It just says, he left everything and followed him. Now, in the society of Jesus' day, this man had been written off. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? You can just feel the mockery kind of just dripping off those words, say the teachers of the law. But eat and drink with them is what Jesus did. And that night, there is this banquet, this great party. And astonishingly, get this, Levi has invited the guy who has just stopped his income stream. Why? Well, that's precisely because Jesus is the one man who has not written Levi off. And of course, the eating and drinking is just such a powerful gesture. You know, Jesus didn't do it's a brief meet and greet with the tax collectors. I'll hold my nose while I'm doing it. No, he sits down with him and the others. Nothing quite so familiar as asking someone to pass the potatoes, is it? This is unconditional welcome. And that's what Jesus was like to a tax collector. Now, this is outrageous. It's hugely controversial. The leaders are indignant. They expected conditions. They expected a rabbi worth their salt to say something like, I'll eat with you, but only if you come to the synagogue regularly and if you've got an honest job, and I'm not really going to start talking to you as you clear all of that up. And I guess that's because they also saw God that way. They think God is, he's conditional. God is unwilling in general to engage with us, to listen to us, to answer us, unless we get everything together first. So Jesus can't be right. But Jesus teaches something else. Jesus teaches that God welcomes unconditionally. And this is everywhere, actually, in Jesus' ministry. If you know the New Testament a little bit, it was there in Mark chapter 10 that we looked earlier. We read it's the children, they come to Jesus. Now, on that occasion, it was the disciples who actually made up the conditions. They said, you can come to Jesus, but you need to be above 13. Show me your passport, or 11, or whatever the age was. Jesus welcomes everyone, just not the children. But Jesus tells them, well, actually, he's furious, isn't he? It says, he was indignant. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Disciples, he says, get rid of your conditions. Now, we could think of more instances. I wonder if you just think about what you know about Jesus, where else does your mind go to the prodigal son? My father would welcome me if I hadn't frittered away all my inheritance on, you know, wild living, but I have. So he's not going to welcome me. He'll make me his servant. And the father says, no. Those conditions, son, they are of your imagining. You think I'm like that. I'm not. I am having you back as a son. We're going to throw a party. There's a bit of a theme. Or think of the woman at the well. She's got her checkered sexual history. Everyone keeps her at a distance. Jesus walks up to her, says, can I have a drink? And chats to her. Or just, how about Peter, who denied his Lord completely? You know, we might think, okay, well, Jesus might say to him afterwards, look, you could have been really good on my team, but actually, since you so spectacularly blew it, you're no longer on the team. But Jesus says to Peter, actually, do you not have a job for you after his crucifixion? The unconditional welcome of Jesus. And I guess ultimately, the most amazing expression of that is the cross. The conditions of a relationship with God are to be without sin. You and I are only worthy to enter the presence of a holy God if we were without sin. But the problem is we do sin, we don't meet the conditions, and yet Jesus uniquely having met those conditions himself, takes them on our behalf. So trusting in Jesus, God treats us like him, like those who have met all the conditions, and therefore welcomes us unconditionally. And I guess I speak on behalf of all of us who've been here for a while. That, of course, is that unconditional welcome is what we long for people. We long for you to encounter in our church. To see Jesus like that, to have his unconditional love spoken to you personally, to experience here in this church his unconditional love for you and me in all our inadequacy, in all our failure, in all our compromise. We want you to hear it here for the first time, to hear it here while perhaps you still think, oh, no, I think God does have conditions. I think I'm unwelcome because, you know, my marriage has fallen apart, or I've made some stupid life-ruining decision, or I've done that one really bad thing that I just feel so guilty about forever, or I'm full of bitterness, or whatever other condition you imagine, and there's no way back. We want you to be here and hear the Lord's unconditional welcome to you. And we want you to hear it not just for the first time. You know, we want this church to be a place where we hear that again and again. You hear it for the thousandth time. You come on a Sunday, or you're with your friends here, and you hear it after you've walked with the Lord for a while, and then frankly, you've kind of drifted. Perhaps your relationship with God has faded to zero. And actually, to be honest, you've kind of written him out of your life. Well, we want you at that moment to hear his unconditional welcome in this church, to come back to relationship with him. Perhaps that's a word for someone this morning. Jesus welcomes unconditionally. Jesus welcomes unconditionally. But, I put three dots after Jesus. The next slide, please. Jesus welcomes unconditionally. I put three dots after it. Back one. Jesus welcomes ... Because this has also been the part of our vision that has caused the greatest confusion and indeed criticism. Now, the first objection is this. Jesus welcomes unconditionally, but some say the church doesn't. Jesus welcomes unconditionally, but some say the church doesn't. Can we have that slide up, please, Stu? Some say the church doesn't. And so our vision, instead of inspiring us, actually condemns us. Now, there are two sides, I think, to this criticism, and I can only just address it briefly this morning, but I think it's so important. Partly the criticism is just fair. So our welcome falls short, doesn't it? It always does. We put up barriers. We say, come and join us as we follow Jesus, but actually also could you leave your culture behind? Come and join us as we follow Jesus, but also please could you leave behind your kind of slightly crazy way of worshiping, or your very reserved way of worshiping, or your way of organizing or planning, because we have our way of doing it and we're not really going to change. So you can come and join us, be with us, but just also do everything like we do it. That sometimes happens, doesn't it? And at different times in the history of the church, we have undervalued all sorts of different groups of people. And perhaps you've experienced this. We've undervalued women, single people, people who are same-sex attracted, kids, those with additional needs, men, those from different racial and cultural backgrounds. It's just true. The criticism is fair. And we need to repent of that and want to change. And by the way, I love that we have a church full of people who not only like the idea of welcoming the other, but actually you do it. And that's what makes this church so amazing. You have other people for dinner at your table. You appreciate the deep friendships you have in church, but you also open those friendships out for others to join them. You know, you have your eight-year-long kind of coffee conversation that happens every couple of weeks. And then after 8 years, you're like, oh, I'm going to invite someone else to this same conversation. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious, by the way. It's going to be fantastic. You have great ideas, like for events and get-togethers that you put on that bring people together and create a sense of welcome. You take an interest in the people around you. You find out what makes someone feel welcome and then do that. You promise to text, and then you text. By the way, if you've ever felt let down by our welcome, or generally by the welcome of the church, I'm sorry for that. But also, if you have a passion to see Jesus honored in that way, please come and be part of the solution. You be the change. If you want to do that in our church, you can do it formally. You can speak to Steph, who oversees our welcome. She's always at the door there. Steph, I want to join you. I want to be part of the welcoming group here. But of course, it's not just a sort of a job to do. It's everywhere. Perhaps you want to jump into our kids' ministry because you want to say our kids are welcome to Jesus. Perhaps you feel our youth need to hear it. You can go and join them. Talk to David. If you wish to extend that welcome to our elder saints, you could come along and serve tea on a Tuesday afternoon. You could just start making friends in the church family. You could start visiting people who can't get out, or keep going with that if you're already doing it. If you appreciate our long history of welcome to those with additional needs, you can ask Carol or Sally if you can help with Be Together or Lighthouse. I could go on for a long time. You get the idea. So that's one side of that criticism. The church doesn't welcome. But there's another side to that criticism too. When some people say Jesus welcomes unconditionally but the church doesn't, what they really mean is the church needs to be more affirming. Now, right in this particular moment, affirming has a particular association in relation to same-sex marriage. I'm not talking about that right now. We're going to come back to that later on in the year. By affirming here, I'm talking about just the general sense that as a church, we need to value a much greater set of ideas and practices. And actually, that's the only way we can be welcoming. Now, listen, Christians can be self-righteous. That is indefensible. I'm not defending it. But we need to also recover confidence that welcome does not require us to be endlessly affirming. So I think the challenge here is that we live in a world that is increasingly divided and in which we only really understand welcome in these kind of terms. Welcome must mean affirming everything the other person is, says and does. And if I can't do that, then I can't be welcoming. But there is a difference between welcome and affirmation. Welcome is directed to the person in their basic humanity. Affirmation involves some level of endorsement. And actually, think about how it is with Jesus. He eats with the tax collectors, but he rejects theft and dishonesty. He chats easily with the sexually promiscuous, but he demands sexual purity. That is Jesus' welcome. And it's not quite the same as what we mean by welcome in our culture. And that leads us actually to the second challenge with welcome. So some say the church doesn't. The next challenge with this part of our vision is that sometimes Jesus doesn't. Jesus welcomes unconditionally, but sometimes Jesus doesn't. That's the other slide, if we may, Stuart. For example, what happens at the end of the story of Levi? Luke chapter 5, verse 31. Jesus says this. He says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, this is a very famous verse. Perhaps you've known it yourself, and it's so encouraging. Sinners are called. Ah, this is brilliant. There is one condition gone. If I'm a sinner, I can still come to Jesus. But there is a different, surprising condition added. If you are righteous, by which I think Jesus means, if you think you're righteous, if you think you've got it all together, actually, I haven't come to call you. You are out, if that's how you're thinking. But that's not his only condition. Let's think about Jesus with the rich young man. We read it earlier. So this is a really striking moment in Jesus' life. The earlier part of Mark 10, we have the encounter with the little children. It's like the most inclusive thing that Jesus has ever said. Let the little children, even the little children, come to me. And then immediately after, what happens? This young man comes up to Jesus. I would like eternal life. What do I have to do? And Jesus goes through the commandments. And then he looks at him and he loves him. And what do we think is going to happen? Yeah, you're in too. And he says, no, he says this. One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And what happens? The man walks off, excluded. Jesus seems to be saying, look, you're welcome with me, but there is actually a condition. You need to give up your greatest treasure. And the thing that's really mind-blowing for modern Westerners is what the Bible says just before Jesus says that bit. It says Jesus looked at him and loved him, and then says, give up everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Now, that was bewildering for the people who were looking on. They thought wealth was a sign of blessing. Jesus is certainly going to welcome this guy he's in. But it's baffling for us. Jesus can love this guy and also say, give it all up and come and follow me. That's the condition. Or what about Mark 8:34? Another famous verse, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. That's a condition. Unless I wash you, John 13:8, you have no part with me. There's a condition. You have to ask for Christ's forgiveness. So after all that, why do we go on using this word unconditional welcome, you might say? Isn't that just very confusing? Here's a slide that hopefully will clarify what we mean. When we say unconditional, what we mean more precisely is not based on our conditions. When we say unconditional, we mean not based on our conditions. We want to preach the good news that Jesus' welcome does not have any of the kind of conditions that we so often imagine it has. You know, I don't know what kind of conversations you get into when you talk to people who don't have the same faith as you. Many people don't believe in God, and part of the reason is that the God they don't believe in is a favoritist, he's mean-spirited, he's kind of arms crossed, joy-killing, trip-you-up, speed-camera kind of God. And the great news is, I want to say, you know the God you don't believe in? I don't believe in him either. That is not what he's like. He is the God of the unconditional welcome, just like Jesus. So the Jesus of the Bible, in that sense, does offer an unconditional welcome. Final slide then, very briefly, how can we reflect this welcome? How can we welcome like Jesus? Well, above all, I think it's spending time with him, getting to know him. See his heart and let it infuse into yours. If you struggle to get that, perhaps it's time to pray. Just get on your knees. Say, Lord, I want to have the same heart as Jesus. The second thing, I think, is to feel ownership. It's really challenging in a big church like this. Like, whose job is our welcome? Is it mine? Is it Steph's? No, it's all of us. You know, if you've been here 3 weeks, or you've been here 3 months, or 3 decades, you can be part of our welcome, whichever one of those. Don't worry if you came in first thing today. You can make someone feel welcome at the coffee afterwards. Ownership. Thirdly, let me commend the ministry of turning up. Do you know about the ministry of turning up? This is a great ministry, a fantastic, strong ministry. The ministry of turning up means you just turn up. That's actually all you do. And this is phenomenal. This is what happens when you turn up. Someone who is new comes in, and you know that they're new. And do you know why you know they're new? Because you were here last week, and the week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that, and it goes back a very, very long way, apart from the time when, you know, you had an operation on your teeth, and so you couldn't be here. And therefore, you know that they're new, because you've never seen them before. The ministry of turning up is phenomenal. And by the way, all of you guys who are so good at this ministry, thank you. It is phenomenal. We cannot do this church welcome thing without you. One last thought. How can we do this welcome? Friendship. So one of the ways we welcome people is to, as it were, look at them in the eye at the front door. But actually, long term, to feel welcomed, we need more than that. We need more than a handshake and a smile. We need that sense that, my friends are here in this church. And let me explain to you why this is challenging. If you've been in this church for 5 years, let's say, you probably got your little buddies in a little ring, okay? And you were really close, and it's great. That is wonderful. But when someone new comes in, they look at your five friends over there, and they're like, I am never getting in there. So I'll just sort of, I don't know, wait around here. Perhaps some people came in at the same time as me, and, you know, we'll be friends. What you have to do is you have to prize open that group of friends. Stay friends, but offer that friendship to others. Hey, you come and join. And that way we find long-term welcome in our church. All right, I could say much more, but I really need to stop. So let us just gather our thoughts for a moment. Let's just take a moment to reflect on what I've said, and then I'll say a final prayer.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.